Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Habibi ilahi al alameen, Abul Qasim al Mustafa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Wa ala ahli baytihi al tayyibin, al tahirin, al ma'sumin. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the importance in Islam of belief in the hereafter. That one of the core concepts and one of the core principles that we believe in as Muslims is the in life after death and in accountability for the life and the time that we spend in this life. And I differentiated between this life and the hereafter. And I mentioned that this life serves one major objective, and that is that it is a preparatory stage for the hereafter. That in this life, we are to take advantage of the time that we have, the resources that we have, in order to invest and prepare for the hereafter. And I also mentioned that we all know that there will come a time for each and every one of us when we have to depart this life. That death is inevitable. It's something that we all recognize is absolutely true. And there is no turning away from. There is no escaping death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you may be, death one day will find you. Imam Ali alayhi salam in the hadith, he says, نَفَسُ الْمَرْءِ خُطَاهُ إِلَىٰ أَجَلِهِ. That each breath that man takes is another step closer to death. Each breath is a single step closer to that inevitable reality, the time that we have to leave this life and move to the next. And so our tradition teaches us that death is a transition from this lower life into the hereafter. It is when we are transformed, when we are moved from this life to the hereafter. And there are many stages in life of the hereafter. There are three main stages. Tonight, inshallah, depending on our time and capacity, I'd like to discuss two of these stages. The stages of life after death, or the hereafter. The first of these stages is what is known as al-barzakh, or عالم الأرواح, the realm or the world of the spirits, or عالم القبر, the world of the grave. But it is mentioned and it is noticed and considered in the Quran with a specific term, and that is al-barzakh. Al-barzakh, like many other concepts in the Quran, which are mentioned in the Quran, has two meanings. The first meaning is the literal meaning of the word, what the word literally means. Al-barzakh literally means barrier. And it's mentioned in the Quran a number of times. To be exact, the concept of barzakh, or the word barzakh, is mentioned in the Quran three times. In two of the three times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the literal meaning of al-barzakh, which means a barrier. Allah tells us in Surah Ar-Rahman, He says, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who brings the two seas together, the two bodies of water together, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ Between them is a barrier which neither trespasses. There's a barrier. And in fact, science tells us there are certain parts of the world in which two seas with different temperatures, with different amount of density and salinity, where they come together but they do not mix. One example is where the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea meet in Europe, close to North Africa and Spain. In that region, and there are many photographs, if you've seen photographs, it's an amazing sight, where you see these two bodies of water with completely different temperatures, with completely different densities and salinities, levels of salt, where they come together, but they do not mix. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's a barrier that's placed that does not allow them to mix. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ This is the literal meaning of the word barzakh. The technical meaning of the word barzakh is found in the two verses from Surah Al-Mu'minun, which I began with, verses 99 and 100 from chapter 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتِ And when death arrives, when death receives or arrives a particular person, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is speaking mostly about the non-believers. Mostly about those who have no faith, no piety, no iman. They will say what? They will say, O our Lord, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ Take me back. Take me back to this life. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ Perhaps, if you give me another chance, if you give me more time, if you give me more life, I'll do what? أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ I'll do good. I'll clean up my act. I'll fix the things that I neglected. I'll pay attention to my faith. I'll pay attention to my actions. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ And then what? The answer comes, kalla. Very simply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, kalla. Kalla means absolutely not. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا And then Allah says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ And after this, after death, they will experience al-barzakh until what? Until the day they are resurrected. إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ And thus, the technical meaning of al-barzakh refers to a realm or a time from the moment of death until the day of resurrection, until the day of judgment. In relation to this specific verse, some have mentioned an interesting story. Some of you might have heard the story, but I think it would be a good reminder. There is a story related from the life of a very prominent scholar by the name of Mirza Mehdi Shirazi. He's a very well-known scholar. Very pious and knowledgeable man. One of the authorities, great religious authorities within the history and the tradition, the Shi'i tradition. It is mentioned that he, when he lived in his home in Karbala, that he had in fact dug a grave in his own home, in the courtyard of his home, and that every night Mirza Mehdi Shirazi, he would take his shroud, his kafan, he would wrap it around himself, and then he would go and he would enter into this grave that he had dug up for himself, and he would sit down, and then he would begin to interrogate himself. He would begin to tell himself, he would say, give me, allow me, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. He would begin to recite this verse. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Lord, give me another chance. He would pretend with himself that he's dead, that the time of death has come and that he's being placed in his grave. And he would say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Lord, give me another chance. And then he would continue the verse, كَلَّا. Absolutely not. He would reply to himself, absolutely not. And then he would begin to interrogate himself. He would ask himself, why is it that you should get another chance? What will you do with this other chance? What are you going to do if you are given more time on this earth? What will you do with this time? And then he would remind himself. He would get up from the grave and he would take off the shroud and he would remind himself. He would tell himself, you have been given another chance. You have been given more time. What are you going to do with this time? And so, al-barzakh refers to the time after death, the realm and the life after death until the day of resurrection. And there are many verses which discuss this. This verse is clear. It brings the notion of barzakh. Other verses, they also discuss this specific realm. There are some verses which talk about those who are martyrs or those who die in the way of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly. He says in regards to the Prophet, he tells the Prophet, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. And do not, O Prophet, consider those who are slain in the way of God, on the path of God, as what? As being dead. Don't call them dead. They're not dead. بَلْ أَحْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, they are what? They are alive. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive and they are with their Lords receiving sustenance. And thus, this verse tells us that after death, there's a specific life. There's a specific realm in which what? In which there's a sense of existence. There's a sense of experience. Allah tells us for the good and for the evil. In regards to the story of Pharaoh, Allah tells us what? He says that Pharaoh and his people, after they died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for them a specific punishment. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا. Allah says the fire, they experience day and night. غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا. And then Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ. And when the time comes for them to rise, when the hour comes, وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ عَذَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command, take Pharaoh and those who followed Pharaoh and took this path, take them into what? Into a severe punishment. And thus, these verses and other verses, they tell us that there's a specific realm after death, a specific time after death until the day of resurrection where there is existence, where there is experience, where there is a sort of consciousness. Scholars have debated about the exact nature of al-barzakh, this intermediary stage. They've debated. And there has been much debate and many books have been written and many arguments have been put forth. But one thing that the scholars and the exegetes, they agree upon is that this specific intermediary realm is one in which we, at least our souls, within a specific body, not this material body, but another body, they feel and they experience both pleasure and pain. They experience, they recognize, they are conscious, they realize. And they've given many examples. They've said that, because many have asked, how is this possible? If our bodies are dead and our souls have left these material bodies, how is it that we would experience any pain or pleasure or delights or happiness or sadness? How is this possible? And they have argued, they have provided many different pieces of evidence, but they relate, they give an example, a simple example, which is not very accurate, but it provides a sort of picture for us. They say the way that we experience in this realm, the realm of Barzakh, is very similar to the way that we experience when we're asleep. Many of us, when we're sleeping, we have dreams. Some people have good dreams, some people have bad dreams. You've probably noticed and personally experienced that sometimes, regardless of what the dream is, whether the dream is good or bad, that your body and your mind actually experiences and feels. This is why sometimes, if God forbid, you know, you see a bad dream where someone, a loved one is being killed, right? Or you're being chased by someone, or you fall from a building or something, you'll notice what? That some people, they begin to weep, they cry. Some people, they just get up and they're shocked, they're scared. Sometimes when we see good dreams, we may even laugh hysterically sometimes while we're sleeping because we experience these things. Scholars suggest that the realm of al-barzakh, this intermediary realm, and the way that we experience is very similar to dreams. That we are conscious and that we experience things. And this is based on a number of traditions. In addition to the verses of the Quran, we have a number of traditions that talk to us specifically about this concept. It's mentioned that during the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one day when he was returning with his companions from the Battle of Siffin, he was returning to where? To Kufa. Before entering Kufa, he stopped at a graveyard, at a cemetery. And he turned towards the cemetery and he began to announce. He said, "Ya أهل الديار المُحشة, O inhabitants of the fearful homes, the dark homes, the terrifying abode, O inhabitants of the dust and the earth." And he began to continue speaking towards the dead people in the grave. He told them, he said, after you're gone, a lot of things happened. Your houses were either bought or sold. Your money was distributed. Your ex-spouses may have gotten married. Your family forgot about you. هَذَا مَا عِنْدَنَا This is the news that we have. فَمَاذَا أَوْ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ And what do you have? This is our news. And what is your news? Tell us about your news, tell us about what you have experienced. And then he turned towards his companions, he said, أَمَا لَوْ أُذِنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْكَلَامِ لَأَخْبَرُوكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى Verily, he told his companions, if they were given permission to speak to you, if they were given permission to talk to you and you were able to hear them, they would tell you that the best provision for you in the hereafter is what? إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى The best provision is taqwa. That the thing most needed in the hereafter is taqwa. So Imam Ali alayhi salam here tells us that they are able to experience, and had they been given the permission, they would even tell you exactly what they're experiencing and exactly what to expect in that realm. Our fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he talks about the barzakh, the life in the grave, and he says, إِنَّ الْقَبْرَ إِمَّا رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النِّيرَانِ He says, the grave is one of two things. It's either one garden from the paradise, a garden, it becomes a garden from the paradise, or, God forbid, it becomes one of the pits of the hellfire. إِمَّا رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النِّيرَانِ The sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he talks about the barzakh. And he says that out of every stage in the hereafter, the one that we fear for you is what? He says, وَاللَّهِ مَا نَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا الْبَرْزَخِ By God, Imam al-Sadiq, he swears, he says, we do not fear anything for you except what? Except the barzakh. The narrations, they tell us that the barzakh, that this time is a difficult time. It's not an easy time. It's very difficult. It's something that we may not be able to comprehend now. Very much how this life is very difficult for a newborn child who has experienced nothing but his or her mother's womb. When this child enters into this life, it's a fearful time. It's a time of distress. The imams, the narrations, the prophetic traditions, they tell us that this overall is a very difficult time. And in fact, some examples have been given during the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that Fatima bint Asad, the mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that a number of times she expressed to the Holy Prophet how difficult and how fearful she was of this time of the grave. And this is the mother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. However, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would reassure her time and time again. And in fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, when Fatima bint Asad, who was like a mother for the Prophet, who took care of him for many years, when she died and she was being buried, the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself, he took care of the burial process. And then when she was placed in her grave, the Prophet, before she was placed in her grave, the Prophet, peace be upon him, had a shirt, and he asked that her body be wrapped in his shirt. Because she had specifically asked. She told him, "Ya Rasulallah, I want you to wrap me in one of your shirts when I die." And so the Prophet, peace be upon him, he wrapped one of his shirts around her. And the tradition tells us that he even entered into the grave and he sat into the grave. And imagine an area which touches the noble body of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. So history tells us that many were fearful, including individuals like Fatima bint Asad. They were fearful of this time. And this is why our traditions, they emphasize on issues such as Salatul Wahsha. We are asked and we are highly encouraged that when a person dies, the first night of that person's burial, that the friends and the family and the loved ones, that they recite a 2 rak'ah prayers known as Salatul Wahsha, which is very simple. In the first rak'ah, after Surah Al-Hamd, Ayatul Kursi is recited. In the second rak'ah after Surah Al-Hamd, Surah Inna Anzalna is recited 10 times. And then after you finish Tashahud and Tasneem, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, wab'ath thawabaha ila qabri fulan ibn fulan." Send the rewards of this 2 rak'ah prayers to the grave of so-and-so. You name the individual. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. One day he came across a family who had just buried one of their members, one of their loved ones, and they were sitting on the grave and they were weeping and they were mourning and they were crying. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he passed by them. He said, "O family, the best thing that you can give as a present to your deceased loved one is a simple 2 rak'ah prayer. Go home, recite this 2-unit prayer, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the rewards of this prayer to the deceased person. This is better than anything else you can give this person. Because it acts as a form of protection. It brings peace and it brings serenity to that deceased individual at a time of great difficulty, at a time of isolation, of loneliness, moved into this new home, this dark place, all alone. The family have left, everyone has left, and it's nightfall. It's a very difficult time. It's a scary time. And so in order to ease this time, we are highly encouraged on praying Salatul Wahsha. This is one of the stages of al-barzakh and the grave. And another important stage is what is known as the questioning or the interrogation. Our tradition tells us that in the grave we will be asked a series of questions, that Allah will send angels to ask us a number of questions, to be interrogated regarding who our Lord is, what our tradition is, what our book is, who our Prophet is. And the ahadith, they emphasize that we will be asked what? Who our Imam is. That one of the questions that we will be asked in the grave is, who is our leader? Who is our Imam? And in fact, the traditions, they tell us what? They say, both narrated by Shia and Sunni books of tradition, they say, مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيًّا. The one who dies without recognizing who his or her authority is, who their imam is, who their leader is, dies a death of ignorance, of the time or the age of ignorance. This is why we are strongly encouraged also that before the deceased person is buried, that someone performs what is known as the talqeen, the instruction, where someone specifically addresses the deceased person and reminds them, tells them what to answer and how to answer. This is highly encouraged, because again, this is a difficult time for the deceased person. And when it comes time to questioning and interrogation, it is highly encouraged that this deceased is instructed, is reminded of what to tell the angels. So this is the second segment of the barzakh, of the life in the grave. And there are many traditions that tell us what helps, what kind of deeds help and assist during this time. Many traditions, they tell us. One of the famous traditions by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, he says that prayers is one of the most important things that will either assist or impede and make things more difficult in our grave. Prayers. The Prophet says those who do not dismiss their prayers, do not take their prayers lightly, who for them prayer is a priority in their life, communicating with their Lord and connecting with their Lord on a daily basis throughout the day is something important for them. Because prayers, that's the essence of prayers. Prayers is establishing a constant connection with your Lord. And so when you have this constant connection with your Lord, it only makes sense that prayers would act as a form of assistance and help, because then you're not alone. Because your prayers, this establishment, this communication, this bond that you have with your Lord, it stays with you. And it's there to help you. You are with your Lord. You are connected to your Lord. And this is why there is so much emphasis on prayers. There is emphasis on charity. There is emphasis on patience. In the tradition, the hadith tells us that sometimes we may neglect some of our actions, either prayers or fasting or our charity or hajj or what have you, that some of these, they will not be able to help us because of their limited scope, because we neglected them in our life. But that attributes such as patience would strongly benefit us. Those who express patience in their life. Those who, when they see a difficulty, when they come across or face a difficulty in their life, they're able to express patience. Those who are able to express patience when it comes to performing their acts of worship. Those who are able to express patience from refraining from doing sins. Stopping yourself. This is a form of patience. When we express patience, this also assists in that time. Those things which are known as al-baqiyatu salihat, perpetual charity. The narrations, they emphasize on doing things that will have perpetual benefit, that will have constant benefit, perpetual charity. For instance, there are many traditional items that are mentioned in the hadith, like digging a well. Because when you dig a well, the people who come by, those who are traveling, those who are passing by, they are able to benefit from this in drinking water. Now, of course, nowadays, we might not necessarily need to go and dig a well, but there are comparable items that we can do. There are things that we can do that would have a lasting effect, that after we leave, generations and generations would come and benefit from. Some of these include when we assist an Islamic center, for instance, where generations later on they would benefit. Establishing schools where generations would learn. Helping orphanages and orphans and widows. Schools, hospitals, these sort of projects which have perpetual charity and perpetual benefit. They help us. They help us in the hereafter. The thawab, the rewards, they come back to us. Other traditions, they tell us that we are able to perform certain actions that help others who are deceased. We may have parents, we may have loved ones, we may have siblings, friends who have left. The hadith, they tell us that there are certain items that we can do and we can send the rewards and the thawab of these items to others. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he tells us that the deceased person is very similar to a person who is drowning in the sea. If you've seen or you understand what happens to a person, or God forbid, some people they might have experienced it themselves. A person who is drowning in the sea is trying to do what? Is trying to do everything in his or her capacity to hold on to something so they can stay afloat, so they can save themselves. The Holy Prophet says a deceased person, many deceased people in the hereafter, they will be like a drowning person just waiting for someone to throw them the life preserver. You know that orange thing, that round thing that looks like a donut? Imagine a lifeguard is there and he throws this out to a person who is drowning. The drowning person immediately holds on to it. It's a life jacket. It saves that person from drowning. The Prophet says that a deceased person is like a drowning person. He's just waiting for someone to send a good deed his or her way. And that some of these deceased, they come in certain times. They come and they visit their family members and their friends, their souls they visit. And they yell out and they beg. They say, please help us with one rak'ah of prayer. Please help us with a single dirham, pay charity with a single dirham. Each and every one of these affects us. And thus we're encouraged that for those who are deceased, for our loved ones who have passed away, that in addition to preparing for our hereafter, that we also perform certain actions and that we send these good actions, the reward of these good actions, to those. And as such, this is the first stage of the hereafter. We don't have time to go into the second stage tonight, but inshallah we will continue this discussion in the future. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the resolve and the ability and the capacity to take advantage of our time in this life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the strength and the patience to increase our iman, to strengthen our iman, to work on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthening our relationship. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to invest for our hereafter, to invest for a time where we will critically be in need of every action that we are able to perform. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give a full and speedy recovery to those who are sick and ill. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist and help all of those who are suffering around the world. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away and to grant them the rewards of the little that we have to offer. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our final imam, وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.